This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the beginning, God created. Where there was once nothing, God spoke and brought everything into being. The heavens, the seas, the earth. And God spoke again and filled the air with birds. He filled the seas with fish. And he filled the earth with animals. And finally, as his crowning achievement, God created human beings to be his image bearers in the world. The world was vibrant and full of life, and God gave the humans a job to do. We were to tend and keep his beautiful new creation. We were to supervise it. And God gave us everything that we needed to do that and thrive. God told us to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. It seemed like his blessing and provision just had no end. He provided abundantly for us. Our lesson today says, God says, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth. And every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food." And then God gave us a special place to stay. A beautiful garden, bursting with plants and trees for food. And our job was to cultivate it and keep watch over it. The name Eden still conjures up images of beauty and peace and communion with God. And you know, for a while, we did our job. We looked after the garden. We lived a life free of worry, cultivating the garden and walking and talking with God on a regular basis. But then something happened. Somehow we got it into our head that although God had provided abundantly for us, we could do a better job on our own. It just didn't take much to convince us that we could decide what was best for us, that we could decide what was right and wrong for us to do. We weren't satisfied being God's image bearer. We wanted to be like God. So we took a bite out of life that we were never meant to have. And almost immediately after that, we became afraid. The presence of God that once was a source of comfort and nourishment for us was now all of a sudden something that inspired fear. Genesis chapter 3 It says, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" The man answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid." When we relied on God's provision, we were satisfied and happy. But as soon as we tried to make it on our own, we began to experience fear. We became afraid. Worry, for the first time, crept into our lives. And why not? We'd separated ourselves from God. And perhaps we didn't fully understand the full implications of what that separation meant at the time, but that separation just changed everything. You know, it's one thing to cultivate a garden that somebody else has already planted for you. It's another thing to eke out a living through painful toil. And after the fall, we made our living by the sweat of our brow in a world that was now filled with thistles and thorns and the sun beating down on us. Isn't it amazing that when we allowed God to be God, we had everything that we needed in abundance? Words like afraid and pain and worry and thistles and sweat had no place in creation. But after we decided we could be like God, the earth was cursed. And our divine task of cultivating the garden, that just went right out the window. And along with it went the abundance, the provision that God had for us. And so from that time on, it's all been about scratching out a living. Life's a constant struggle to find provision. Until what? Until Jesus comes and brings the kingdom of God with him. And he shows us a better way to live. Do you know you can search the entire Old Testament and you will never, not once, find the phrase, the kingdom of God? It's just not there. The kingdom of God is a Jesus thing. He preached about it all the time. In the 4th chapter of Luke, some villagers are trying to get him to stay with him. And he says to them, "I must preach the good news of what? Of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." He told parables about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like yeast. The kingdom of God is for children. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And on and on and on. And the thing that we find with Jesus is that when Jesus comes, abundance re-enters the picture. In John's gospel, he says flat out, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Our gospel lesson is from Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And in this passage, he picks up on that theme of God's abundant provision in the kingdom of God. And there's just no doubt that Jesus wants his listeners to hear that life in him is life in the kingdom. And that somehow that life looks and feels different from life in the earthly realm. First of all, the kingdom of God is supposed to be a worry-free zone. In our gospel lesson, Jesus tells his followers 5 different times in just 9 verses not to worry. And with his references to the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and God's abundant provision, we get echoes that just remind us of Eden, where God's provision was so abundant. And life in the kingdom is supposed to be like that. A worry-free zone where we're free to pursue God's purposes in our lives and not just to scratch out a living. In our lesson, Jesus says, "Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" The answer is yes. A resounding yes. Last week I talked to the kids during the kids' sermon about citizenship. As baptized children of God, we have citizenship rights in the kingdom of God. And you know, we don't have to look all over the world for it. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees in Luke chapter 17, he tells them that the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is a heart matter. To relocate there, we don't have to move out of state. We don't have to rent a U-Haul. All we have to do is let God change our hearts. And we become naturalized citizens in the worry-free kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I invite you to look around you. Just look to your left and to your right. And what you'll see are people making that journey out of the earthly realm and into the kingdom of God. We gather together here every week to help us remember that. We gather here to plan on ways to extend that kingdom. Part of living in this worry-free zone is trusting enough in the provision of God to allow us to financially support our piece of the kingdom here at Mountain of Faith. And so I'm going to wrap this up a little early because Scott Swanson is going to talk to you a little bit about his thoughts about trusting in God's provision. And I'm going to turn this over to him. I will just mention to you that there's a lot of work to do in this ministry area. There are people hurting who need to hear the good news of the kingdom of God, who need to see us living out lives in that kingdom by the way that we help one another. And so over the next few weeks, I'm going to ask you to just prayerfully consider increasing your financial support of this ministry. And you know, you can support this ministry not just with your finances, but with your time and by volunteering your talents. Those contributions mean just as much as the financial contributions. They all work together to make the kingdom of God a reality in this place and at this time. So with that, I'll just turn this over to Scott, and he'll talk to you for just a few minutes.